This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer. Coming up, a London rocker channels the 50s. But first, we bring you the story of a literary revolution. At the end of the 18th century, British poets William Wordsworth and Samuel Taylor Coleridge joined forces for a brief but productive year and launched the English Romantic movement. It took place in southwest England in the Quantock Hills. Wisconsin Public Radio's Steve Paulson visited the Quantocks to shadow the steps of the poets with Adam Sisman, whose book The Friendship chronicles their creative partnership.
You can almost pinpoint the exact moment when the English Romantic movement was born. It was a June afternoon a little more than 200 years ago, when Samuel Taylor Coleridge, having just walked 40 miles, reached the home of William Wordsworth.
When he arrived within sight of their house, he leapt over a gate. He was so excited to see his old friend Wordsworth, and they had an ecstatic few weeks together.
As Adam Sisman tells the story, Coleridge had only planned to stay a few days, but there was so much electricity during that visit that he ended up staying for 3 weeks. Both Wordsworth and Coleridge decided then and there that they had to live close by so they could remake English poetry. It's an extraordinary story because it cuts so directly against the myth of the solitary artistic genius. Wordsworth and Coleridge fed off each other's enthusiasm and intoxicating ideas. Coleridge was only 24 and known mainly for his fiery political speeches. Wordsworth was 26 and completely unknown as a poet. Somehow they convinced each other they could launch a revolution.
They were groping towards an aesthetic which would speak in the tongues of ordinary men. This is not, emphatically not, a kind of aristocratic poetry written for an elite.
Now, these were two young radicals who had been very taken by the idea of the French Revolution, and then they gave up on that, and they seemed to think that poetry could literally change the world.
Yes, they did, and that idea seems to us now rather amusing. But in fact, this year in the Quantocks was absolutely crucial. It was a watershed in the history of English poetry. After this Quantock year, poetry would never be the same. And all the younger generation of Romantic poets, Shelley, Byron, Keats, looked up to Wordsworth and Coleridge and saw this year in the Quantocks as a kind of sacred year when everything changed.
Both Wordsworth and Coleridge believed that people would find their deepest purpose in nature. By now, with our long history of environmentalism and more recent talk about Gaia, nature itself as a living organism, it's a familiar idea. But it wasn't back then when Coleridge and Wordsworth first laid out their nature aesthetic.
Books, 'tis a dull and endless strife. Come, hear the woodland linnet. How sweet his music. On my life there's more of wisdom in it. And hark how blithe the throstle sings, and he is no mean preacher. Come forth into the light of things. Let nature be your teacher.
That's Paul Cheshire, a member of the Friends of Coleridge, reading Wordsworth's poem, The Table Turned. Today you can still walk on the same trails that Wordsworth and Coleridge walked and see some of their favorite places, like the small waterfall near Wordsworth's old house.
They saw this as a place of picturesque beauty, a place which, as one of their friends said, was enough to make a man forget that there was any reason for treason in this world.
Sisman says many of the poet's insights about nature came from Wordsworth's sister, Dorothy, who nearly always joined them on their walks.
She was a kind of wild creature in many ways, and they, to some extent, saw the world, the natural world, through her eyes. She would, for example, notice the way the cloud covered the moon or the sound of an owl, and she would remark on it, and that observation fed its way into their poems. Coleridge has a very striking phrase. He says they were three persons, but one soul.
Above the waterfall, a trail heads up high into the Quantock Hills. Heath covers the moor, and there's a glorious view of the sea out to the west. Coleridge and Wordsworth loved to amble along these paths, often composing their poems while they walked. Perhaps what's most remarkable about their creative partnership was the extent to which they collaborated on the poetry itself. Adam Sisman.
Well, they were always talking about ideas for poems, but also they would actually literally collaborate on some of the poems. So, for example, when Wordsworth was stuck for a line, Coleridge might supply it. Sometimes they would supply whole stanzas to the other's poems, the most famous example of this being The Ancient Mariner.
Down in the valley below, Coleridge's old cottage still stands in the town of Nether Stowey. Today it's run by the National Trust and filled with Coleridge memorabilia, paintings, books, and a table devoted to Coleridge's most famous poem, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, the strange and hypnotic tale of a sailor who for no good reason shoots an albatross, which brings a terrible curse on his ship and leaves the mariner compelled to tell his story over and over.
He holds him with his skinny hand. "There was a ship," quoth he. "Hold off, unhand me, greybeard loon." Eftsoons his hand dropped he. He holds him with his glittering eye.
God save thee, ancient mariner, from the fiends that plague thee thus. Why look'st thou so? With my crossbow I shot the albatross.
They coiled and swam, and every track was a flash of golden fire. O happy living things, no tongue their beauty might declare.
The Rime of the Ancient Mariner was the longest poem in the book that Wordsworth and Coleridge published in 1798. That book, Lyrical Ballads, was the culmination of their collaboration, and it would launch the English Romantic movement.
And from my neck so free, the albatross fell off and sank like lead into the sea.
Later on, Coleridge and Wordsworth feuded and fell out with each other. But Adam Sizemore says we should be grateful that they collaborated for as long as they did. During that one remarkable year in the Quantocks in Somerset, the two poets created a mindset that's inspired generations of people to love and revere the natural world, even those who've never read a line of their poetry.
It was one of those kind of shifts that takes place in worldview, and they pioneered this. They showed us a completely different way of relating to the world, of thinking about the world. And it comes out of not either of them as individuals, but out of their collaboration. That's what's so fascinating. It might never have happened had these two men not come together.
For NPR News, I'm Steve Paulson.